yourselves.
Quiet, please.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You ready for the bit, soul?
In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Lars. This is the Lars Larson Show.
With great humility, I am asking you to be excited.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Lars.
And now.
Then we're going to kick the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Here's your host.
My memory is so bad, I let you speak.
Lars Larson.
Our president, Joe Biden, wanted to be here today. He is feeling much better and recovering fast, and he looks forward to getting back on the road. And I wanted to say a few words about our president.
That is Kamala Harris, and she's turning out to be the pick to replace candidate Joe Biden before we've even heard from Joe himself. In fact, I notice I'm not the only one asking on this Monday, where is Joe anyway? The announcement that he's not running came from social media about 24 hours or so ago. So we're left to conclude Joe Biden's mental state leaves him incapacitated, not too incapacitated to keep on serving as president for another 6 months, but too incapacitated to even make the announcement in his own voice on camera to the citizens of the United States of America. Can we please get proof of life on this guy? Because nobody but his family has seen him since last Thursday. His own White House staff learned of his exit from the race for re-election from social media. So who exactly is running the country right now? It seems the holdover staff from Barack Obama, some of them, are actually running things in Joe's absence, just as we've suspected for some time. So I'd like to see proof of life. I'd like to see Joe Biden actually speak to the United States about this very consequential decision that we're told that he's made. In fact, at least a few folks are asking, and I don't think it's entirely out of place for them to say, does Joe Biden know that he has quit the race for president? Welcome to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Monday. Strange things going on today, and we're going to talk about them, and we want you to be involved in that conversation. That's why we call this the best conversation in talk journalism, and you can join at 866-HEY-LARS. And if you happen to be a naysayer, maybe you're a fan of Joe Biden, and you're disappointed that the choice of Joe Biden has been taken away, even though we're not sure that Joe did it himself. He didn't make the announcement himself. It came out over social media. But our ex-poll question today, now that Joe Biden has quit the race for re-election, should he resign the presidency? I would say yes. If he is too incapacitated to even be considered a candidate for president, then I'd say he's too incapacitated to serve as president of the United States. You can find the ex-poll at Lars Larson Show and at LarsLarson.com. And of course, you can always email to talk at LarsLarson.com. So Joe Biden is out in the race for re-election. And now Americans should demand that he exit the Oval Office. Biden's been in mental decline for a decade. That is the truth that the Democrat Party has done everything to hide over the last 5 years or so, ever since he began his race for president, having said, I'm not going to run for president, but I have to, because Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. So now the Democrat Party is going to tell Democrat voters in America who voted for Joe Biden, we'll make the choice of Joe's replacement. You just don't worry your pretty little heads about who's going to be the candidate for the Democrat Party. And they call Donald Trump the threat to democracy. What citizens must decide, and do it quickly. If Joe is not competent for another run, does he have the gray matter left to guide America for the next 6 months? The rational answer comes back, hell no. But politics ain't exactly rational these days, are they? Biden now endorses Kamala Harris to run in his stead, or so we're told. He chose Kamala Harris as the affirmative action choice based on her skin color and her gender. That is diversity, equity, and inclusion writ large. And you can see what a disaster that DEI has been for America. We've got airplanes with parts that fall off in midair. We've got a spacecraft that's stuck in orbit along with a couple of astronauts because Boeing practices DEI. And now we're told that Kamala Harris is going to be the replacement for Joe Biden. The same Kamala Harris who confuses North and South Korea. The same Kamala Harris who thinks that 220 million Americans died of COVID-19. The same Kamala Harris that when Joe Biden named her border czar, the border problem got worse, not better. And now she's going to be proposed by the Democrat Party to run the entire government. Joe endorses her today for two reasons. If she's not on the ticket, literally under federal law, almost $250 million in campaign contributions stays locked up. It can only be spent on a Biden campaign, a Harris campaign, or a Biden-Harris or Harris and whoever she chooses campaign. If both those names or one of those names is not on the ticket, the $250 million stays locked up. But more importantly, if the Democrat Party dumps its first female vice president of color, that presents a little bit of a political problem for the Democrats. The immediate problem for all of us, should Joe stay or should he go? I want you to consider a few things as you think about that. His most recent Gallup approval rating, 38%. And you say, well, he's been unpopular lately. Okay, go all the way back a couple of years to 2022. What was his disapproval rate or approval rating then? It was 38%. Not surprisingly, over the last 3.5 years, inflation has gone through the roof. It has skyrocketed. They spend all this money, dump all that federal money into the economy. What did you think was going to happen? By 2022, 2 years ago, the average rate of inflation was 8%, a number not seen in the last 40 years. And Joe Biden, I'll remind you, told a pack of lies in the last 3 years, eclipsing even the lies that he has famously told during his half century in so-called public service. Biden claims he came into office when COVID was raging. It was not. The first vaccines were given in December of 2020. Most Americans got the shot, even though I don't believe in it, before he took the oath of office that inflation was already high. It was actually running at 1.2%. Joe also claims to have created millions of jobs. Well, when COVID ended, companies began rehiring people. It would take about 2 years to get back all the jobs lost during the pandemic. Joe Biden does not get credit for that. And the Federalist, great paper, the Federalist raises a very important question on this Monday. Does Joe Biden even know that he's not running? And as they point out, it wasn't until Joe Biden's X account posted late yesterday afternoon that some of the president's own staff found out that he was not running for re-election anymore. So what happened? A few minutes before 2 p.m., Biden's X account posted an image of a document announcing that Joe would stand down from his 2024 campaign. The note said Biden would speak to the nation later on this week in more detail. Half an hour later, a Post offered his full support and endorsement to Vice President Kamala Harris. Biden, who is supposedly dealing with COVID, and as you just heard Kamala Harris say, is doing much better, has yet to be seen alive, much less conduct a press conference. His public schedule says he's at his beach house in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and has been there since last Thursday. You'll remember when he left Nevada abruptly, canceled all of his appointments because his doctor said he had mild symptoms of COVID. All of that, and the guy just disappears for the next 5 days, and all of a sudden we get a social media announcement. Not a picture, not audio of Joe, just we're told he's quit and Kamala Harris is his choice to replace himself. Very interesting. Let's get some proof of life. Back in a moment, I'll get to your calls. 866-HEY-LARS. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network. You know.
A message from Lars.
I'd like to apologize to anyone I've not offended yet. Please be patient. I'll get to you shortly.
Who's next? This is the Lars Larson Show.
That makes a lot of sense. A lot of nonsense.
Right. You're bloody well right. You know you got a right to sit.
This is the Northwest Nonsense.
How much longer do we have to sit for this nonsense?
That great moment every day where Lars brings you the cold, hard facts without any liberal wokeness from the Daily Dead fish wrapper or mainstream media bias.
Everyone, it seems, everyone in the Democrat Party universe has lined up to support Kamala Harris. Barack Hussein Obama seems to be the lone exception to that rule. Maybe he sees in Kamala Harris somebody who he can't run on puppet strings like he has with slow Joe Biden for the last 3.5 years. Obama's third term as president, if you will, just as he publicly wished for. So when it comes to Harris, what's not to like as a Democrat Party candidate to step in for the mentally deficient Joe Biden? Well, just consider a few of the things that Kamala Harris stands for. Number one, she has talked openly about eliminating all private health insurance, effectively pushing all of us into government care. Remember Barack Obama's promise, if you like your doctor, you may keep your doctor? Well, that's out. About energy in America, I'll quote Harris directly. There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So the abundance of oil and natural gas that God has blessed the United States of America with, gone under a Kamala Harris presidency. By the numbers, we have nothing that can replace that amount of energy, so America's future turns cold and dark. She wants a carbon tax, too. So if you like your car, you can't keep your car. Or central heat in your home. And maybe your business or your job has to be sacrificed on the altar of the green gods. Those tax cuts passed by the Congress 7 years ago, the ones that Donald Trump signed into law, the ones that benefited every single person in this country who draws a paycheck, rich or poor. Again, quoting Harris, on day one, we're going to repeal that tax bill. And she plans to hike corporate taxes, too. Now, I know that many of you don't have much love for corporations, but I just urge you to remember that your landlord or your mortgage company is one. And so, in most cases, are the places where you buy your groceries, buy your energy, insure your family, or even get your teeth fixed. All corporations, when they pay more, you and I pay more. And Harris even plans to jack up the death tax. Her words again. Estate taxes are going to have to go up. So even after you and I die, the government wants to get its cut. Given those factors and more to come in this quickie campaign for president by Kamala Harris, assuming the Democrat Party chooses her, what does anybody find to like about Kamala Harris? Glad to get your calls on this Monday at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And cast a vote in our poll on X. That poll on X, and I think this is so important for America, now that Joe Biden has decided to quit the race for re-election, should he resign the presidency as well? I would answer that one yes. You can answer it any way you like. It's brought to you by Ultimate Truck Services. If you rely on trucks for business, Ultimate keeps your biggest assets on the road and running right. Find them at ultimatetruckservice.com. Now, on Friday, on First Amendment Friday, I ask you this. Should we taxpayers pay for free phone calls home by convicted criminals behind bars in prison? 90% of you joined me in a no vote, but we had 10% naysayers, and those are exactly the kind of people that I love to talk to. Get those naysayers on. Our question of the day, actually, I've got two of them. One comes from Mark Altus. Hello, Lars. With President Biden now out to pasture, I was curious as to what happened to all the money donated to his now failed campaign. Do the donors get a refund? Do the contributions now pass on to the next nominee on the Democrat ticket? I haven't a clue, but perhaps you could call in a guest on your show to explain the process. In any case, I think a lot of donors wish now they had kept their checkbooks in their pocket. Have a great week. Signed, Mark. Let me give you a short answer. Under federal election law, money given to the Biden-Harris campaign may be spent by candidate Joe Biden, may be spent by Kamala Harris. So with Joe out, if the Democrats choose Kamala Harris, then all of that campaign money, about $250 million they have in their pockets right now, can be spent on a Kamala Harris campaign. But if the Democrats choose anybody other than Kamala Harris, then it becomes illegal to spend that money unless somehow they launder the money. And the Democrats are very, very good at laundering money. And then our question of the week number two. With Kamala Harris, will Kamala Harris still debate Donald Trump in September, as Joe Biden had promised to do? I would like to see that debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. Can you imagine? They ought to sell it on pay-per-view. And now today's Daily Grill.
Insane.
Are you completely insane?
Ridiculous.
They get more and more ridiculous.
Flat out dumb.
You're even dumber than I thought.
Who deserves today's Lars Grill of the Day?
Maybe they're just really, really stupid.
Find out right now.
I'm going to give Willamette Week and WWeek.com credit for today's Daily Grill. They posted, after officials promised to address the fentanyl crisis in Portlandia, overdose deaths actually went up. So what happened? During the 90-day Portland area fentanyl emergency declared by elected officials, including the governor of the state of Oregon, overdose deaths actually went up, not down, and they have not declined since then. So what did the emergency order actually accomplish? Critics of the declaration say it was a failed effort without any clear goals. But city, county, and state health officials, almost all of them liberal Democrats, have said, well, it lays the foundation for better times to come. The fact is, when you declare an emergency and you say we're going to do something to actually fix this problem, and then the problem does not get better, it gets worse, that's crazy. Our best email of the day, brought to you by Window Nation's semi-annual sale, on now with 50% off on all windows, no interest for 5 years. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Forest Cat in Bellingham, listening on the Radio Northwest Network and KGMI, writes in, Lars, if Kamala had any nonpartisan guts or true leadership ability, she would call for the immediate resignation of Secret Service Director Cheadle. Signed, Forest Cat. Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. But Cheadle was on Capitol Hill today, lying through her teeth, and I'll give you some of the lies a bit later on in the show. Glad to go first to a naysayer with the unfortunate name of Karen. Hey, Karen, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, and what do we disagree about today?
Well, we don't disagree that my name is unfortunate. I'll give you that.
Okay, fair enough.
Right. I just think the reason why he dropped out of the race is not because he's mentally incompetent. That we do agree on. But it's because he can't beat Trump. The only reason why they pushed him out is because he can't win. They don't care about the people. They don't care about Biden. He's not running anything. The wheels behind him are. And as soon as they figured out he can't win, they're like, oh, he's gone. They don't care about his incompetence. So I don't think he's going to quit between now and January. He's just not going to run.
Yeah, and the thing is, if they're telling us he's too mentally incapacitated to run for another term, why should we accept that he's mentally capable of running the United States of America for six more months, should we?
Well, we shouldn't, but they haven't said that either. They're not copying to that. They're just saying, they haven't actually said why. And like you said, we haven't heard from him, so who knows, right?
No, I think you're right, Karen, and I hope you are a good example that not every Karen is a Karen. So I guess you can put that to your credit as well. That's Karen who's calling in. Coming up in a moment, what does a no Biden Democrat race mean for voters in Washington State? We'll get to that and your phone calls and emails. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.
The Lars Larson Show. And now, this musical message to anyone who wants to indoctrinate our school children.
Hey, teacher, leave the kids alone.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program on a Monday, on the day after we got word that Joe Biden has quit the race for re-election, although we haven't heard it from Joe Biden himself yet. And in fact, nobody's really seen the guy since last Thursday, which seems more than a little bit strange to me. Glad to have you with me, and always glad to take your calls at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@larslarson.com. And I thought I'd bring on Washington State Senator John Braun to talk about what a no Biden Democrat race might mean for voters both on the right and on the left. Senator, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on, Lars. Great to be here.
So I've already got a ballot sitting on my kitchen table, literally sitting on the kitchen table. But Joe Biden and mine would include Joe Biden in the jungle primary. So what does it mean when you're going to have a primary in a state and there's a name on the ballot that's now been withdrawn?
Well, I mean, we already did our presidential primary, so it won't be on the primary ballot. But your point is still well taken. Is look, we're a short distance from the general election. We've had now years of Joe Biden, you know, definitely running a campaign, primary campaign, won the primary, and now they've made this change. Now, I agree, he's not fit to serve another term. But the way this has gone about, the dishonesty and claiming there was no challenges, and then finally recognizing it and forcing the hand without really going back to the voters in any meaningful way. I mean, they talk about an open convention, but the reality is it seems it's sewing up for the Vice President Harris, and in a way that doesn't really account for the voters' input. I don't know what this does to people at the ballot other than lead them to believe that the Democratic Party isn't really interested in what they think, more interested in anything they can do to keep power.
Well, in fact, they've called Donald Trump the threat to democracy, and yet Trump went out and sewed up the delegates and got the nomination legitimately. And now we're left to conclude that it's going to be a mentally incapacitated Joe Biden saying Kamala Harris is the choice, plus all the other party bosses who are going to choose her. And do we assume that the convention will necessarily give it to her, because they have to make the decision here in the next few weeks? You know, and they were talking originally about starting a count of delegate votes on Friday. Then they pushed that back to early August. So most of this is going to be done outside of the presence of almost every voter in the United States. The Democrat Party are going to choose their candidate. I guess the old, back smoke-filled back rooms without the smoke.
That's exactly right. It seems like, you know, almost seems. You know, lots developed, of course, just in the last day. You know, at one point there was a lot of talk about, okay, if President Biden steps down, we're going to have an open convention and we're going to, you know, have some input, which isn't ideal, but it's better than what's shaping up now, which is the foregone conclusion that is it's Kamala Harris will be the nominee, and there's really no meaningful effort to have a discussion about who the best candidate is. Now, the Democrats can run their party how they want, but I would say, to do that in the face of, you know, no input from voters across the country, that's just plain undemocratic.
See, and I think it's undemocratic as well. But let me ask you what this does to down ballot, because you're on the right, I'm on the right. So what does this do down ballot if we're left with a bunch of voters who may be a bit disaffected? There may have been people who still believe that Joe Biden should be the candidate, although there probably aren't too many Democrats who want him as the candidate for obvious reasons. But they may not be excited about Kamala Harris. They might say, no, we think we want Gretchen Whitmer or Gavin Newsom or somebody else. Do they all just fall in lockstep like Democrats so often do, or do they go to that convention fractured by what's just happened?
Well, I think, you know, there's some who aren't going to vote. They're going to vote against Trump. They'll vote for anybody against Trump, and you're not going to change minds on that score. What really matters in this election, just like recent elections, is the folks in the middle, and they're going to be, I think, a little frustrated and disappointed, perhaps even confused by all the changes as we lead up to this, and I think that's gonna lead them to vote for what they know. And they may not be all-time, you know, President Trump fans, but they know that during his administration, the country is in good shape, a lot of good policies put in place, their lives were better, and I think they're ultimately gonna vote for that. But we'll see. It's gonna be, this is really historic what we're living through right now. We've not been in this situation before in many ways. And I don't have any special crystal ball, but I think this still it leads to a favorable election for Republicans. But we can't rest on that. We got to go out and share with folks, you know, what we're working for, how we're trying to make their individuals' lives, their families' lives, communities better across the state of Washington, and earn their vote if we're going to be successful.
Well, one of the things I just pointed out to my audience, Senator Braun, is Kamala Harris is for banning fracking. Kamala Harris is for a raise in the estate taxes. She wants to repeal the 2017 so-called Trump tax cuts. She wants to repeal all that, raise other taxes, raise a carbon fee, just like Jay Inslee did. Is that going to fly with the voters?
Well, see, this is the thing that people forget. Is she, you know, she ran for president back in 2019, 2020. She didn't make it very far because people quickly learned that to the extent she had any, you know, real positions at all, they were very far left positions. They were not positions that were attractive to the voters in the middle. And And we should be clear, the voters in the middle are the ones that are going to make the decision in November. And I don't think she's a great candidate to present to them.
No, and the other thing about that is, as a vice president, I realize that, as John Adams said, the vice presidency isn't worth a pitcher of warm spit. Actually, you used another term, but I cleaned it up for radio. But does she have any capabilities? She was made the border czar, and then she stayed as far away from. So the one specific task she was given by Joe Biden, she didn't exactly perform there. But maybe the Democrats don't care about the border, or maybe they like the policies, open border policies that have harmed America.
Well, I think they clearly like the policies, although they're struggling with how to deal with the impact, and they recognize, I think, at least the more thoughtful among them recognize they're having enormous negative impact on communities across the country. And Vice President Harris has done a terrible job. This was President Biden said, go work on this, and she has done nothing to probably the most important topic, you know, maybe second after affordability, certainly here in Washington, but probably the top one or two topics in the election right now. And she was given a chance to take a leading role and basically has done nothing. So I think, I mean, the reality is there's lots of reasons Kamala Harris may not be the ideal candidate. She's very unpopular, just about the same as President Biden. She hasn't taken a leading role. She's been, when she's been in the spotlight before, she has not particularly performed well. So I would be concerned if I were them, and I think that they would be much wiser to shoot for an open convention and try and find their best candidate. But again, they don't ask me for my opinion. They're going to do what they want, and right now it's like it's going to be Kamala Harris.
But Senator Braun, you know what I want to see? I want to see Republicans actually take this and make use of it. Because if they can say you had this terrible candidate in Kamala Harris, she dropped out before the Iowa caucuses, and as a prosecutor, she prosecuted, I mean, I'm not a fan of pot, but she prosecuted a lot of people for pot, but now she says she's pro-pot. In other words, her own history before the vice presidency was not exactly great. And then she showed us what her own personal values are, called Joe Biden an unrepentant racist when she was running, and then agreed to go to work for him anyway. Final comment on how Republicans might make use of this situation to persuade voters?
I think you just said it all. I mean, I think our job now is to go out and convince the public, demonstrate to the public that we have a better candidate. We have a better candidates at the state level and legislative level in Washington that will make your lives better, your family's life better. And instead of trying to fix real problems that people face every day, we have people like potentially Vice President Harris, who might be running for president. We'll see as the lead in talking about kind of nonsense issues that don't matter to regular people.
And a lot of word salad on the stump, by the way, which is going to be a lot of fun for the rest of us. That's Senator John Braun. By the way, I'd be glad to talk to naysayers who think Kamala Harris is great. Coming up, your phone calls and emails and a new tax on the hot. Summer.
People always ask Lars if he wants to run for public office, like president.
Do you know how much power I'd have to give up to be president?
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program, and welcome back to the Radio Northwest Network, now celebrating 25 years of serving the states of Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, the Pacific Northwest. I want to make one mention of a story that I think you should pay close attention to, and then I'll get to your phone calls and emails. And in the meantime, if you want to jump in, it's 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. Our X poll today. Now that Joe Biden has quit the race for re-election, should he resign the presidency? My answer to that is yes. And the logical argument is, if he's mentally incapacitated and cannot run for re-election, he is too mentally incapacitated to run the United States of America. Today's X poll at Lars Larson Show on X and also on our website at LarsLarson.com, brought to you by Ultimate Truck Services. If you rely on trucks for business, Ultimate keeps your biggest assets on the road and running right. Find them at UltimateTruckService.com. Now, I want to mention this. The Oregon Health Authority says that Oregon hospitals routinely lose a lot of money, $10 million in the third quarter of last year. $10 million. Previously, they have lost as much as $100 million in a given year. Now, you say, well, how can they do that? Aren't they private companies? No, for the most part, Oregon hospitals and Washington hospitals are run as private nonprofit operations, meaning they can lose some money because they don't have to make money, but they can't lose too much. Well, now there's a ballot measure, and this was pointed out by the Taxpayers Association of Oregon. This November, voters in Oregon will decide whether or not to tax hospitals. And the tax is an outrageous one, 3% on gross revenue. So that means that if a hospital is losing millions of dollars, how do you think they're going to get the millions of dollars to pay the taxes on their losses? Well, the answer is they're going to charge customers more, which makes healthcare less available than it's ever been before. Let me go first to Chuck in Longview. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the Radio Northwest Network. What's on your mind?
You know, the last time I talked, I said, the next time I call you, Joe Biden will be reelected. Well, I don't know if you remember that phone call, but anyway.
I don't, but it's classic. Go for it.
Okay, thank you. I don't understand something here, and I understand you think that Joe Biden should resign as president because you say he's mentally incapable. Okay, so how does a
hold on. Let me let you prove it. Why is Joe Biden dropping out of the race for reelection?
Well, I think that it's because he's getting a lot of pressure from, people like Marie Glusenkamp-Perez.
Think he's paying any attention to a freshman member of Congress just because she's a Democrat? Well, Chuck, yeah, isn't it fair to say Joe Biden is dropping out because his supporters believe he's mentally lost it? Is that not the reason he's dropping out of the race for reelection?
I don't believe that his supporters believe that. I believe that it's a majority of the upper echelon super delegates, as they say in the Democratic Party.
Well, can I offer another piece of proof to you, Chuck?
That have made this decision on behalf of people like me who are disenfranchised.
Okay, but Chuck, can I offer you another? They've done polling of American Democrats, not the leadership, but the average Democrat out there, and it is it's just short of 2/3 of all Democrat voters. Not party elites, voters have said we don't want.
I don't believe the polls. Okay,
fair enough. That's a good way to deal with polls, I guess. Just say you don't believe their results. You don't think they're even close.
How does President Harris in his next 6 months? How is that beneficial for Republicans?
Chuck. I'll ask you a question again. Do you think that Vice President Harris has performed effectively and efficiently as vice president?
You know what? I'd like the answer to this question.
Well, I'm just going to suggest to you that she seems like she's dumb as a bag of hammers. She has not taken any of the assignments she got as vice president seriously, and she hasn't managed to get anything done. So if she became president for the last 6 months,
you could say the same thing about Donald Trump. So I just want to
actually, honestly, I would disagree with you. I could point out dozens of things that
Donald Trump supporter.
No, and not just because of that, because I fault him when I disagree with him. But when you look at what he accomplished, major league tax reduction, a controlled southern border, a prosperous economy.
If you're going to throw
COVID on him and say if any other president had been president during that. Hold on. Listen to the question, Chuck. If any other president. Well, and Chuck chickened out and signed off. OK, bye. Take the coward's way out. Let's go to Key. Key, you're 13 years old. I want to hear your comments.
What was that?
I said you're 13 years old, so my audience knows. Well, I want to hear your comments before we run out of time.
I was just curious if Harris is elected for the Democrat nominee, do you think she could win against Trump?
No. I think Donald Trump is going to mop the floor with her.
Okay.
What do you think? Do you think she can win?
I mean, I think it's a better chance than Biden, that's for sure.
Well, I guess in relative terms, it's sort of like eating mud is better than eating dog do. But, you know, it's not... the relative differences do not win the race. Do you think she's going to be, could be a good president?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Keith, thanks very much. Your calls are always welcome. You've got the Radio Northwest.
The Lars Larson Show.
Quiet, please.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You ready for the big show?
Right.
In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Lars. This is the Lars Larson Show.
With great humility, I am asking you to be excited.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Lars.
And now.
Then we're going to kick the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Here's your host.
My memory is so bad, I let you speak.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm always glad to get to your calls, and we will do that in just a moment. But I've got an opportunity because Kamala Harris is now appearing to be the odds-on choice by the Democrat Party. No guarantees at this point, but she's being endorsed by a tremendous number of Democrats. So apparently members of the Democrat Party have decided they don't actually have to engage in democracy in choosing their candidate. The party leadership and elites can just choose the right candidate because Joe Biden has decided allegedly not to run for re-election. And I kind of want to start there, but I want to bring on my friend Josh Markey. Known him for about 50 years, and he's a former district attorney. And Josh, is it fair to say that you at least had some professional interaction as a DA with Kamala Harris back in the day?
Oh, yeah. No, I had quite a bit. She was the San Francisco district attorney for, I think, 6 or 8 years, from 2008 to 14, until she was elected California Attorney General. And I served on the board of the National District Attorneys Association with her. So, yeah, I've met her professionally a number of times. I wouldn't say we're friends, but she reminds me, I am a Democrat. I generally vote for Democratic candidates for national office, not so much so for local or state office. And I voted for Joe Biden last time, but I wouldn't vote for him this
time.
Thank
you for that confession.
A lot of people. And I'm not going to vote for Kamala Harris. And I'm not going to do that because she scares me. She reminds me a lot of the Clintons, and not in a good way. In 1992, when Clinton first ran, a lot of people don't remember this, but Jesse Jackson, who has many problems of his own, also ran as an independent candidate. And he said something about the Clintons that applies to Kamala Harris. He said about the Clintons, the problem with them is they're all appetite. And he meant their, you know, overweening drive to, you know, basically get what they wanted. And there's a lot of that in Harris. And she was basically, you know, arm candy for a guy named Willie Brown, who was the extremely powerful Speaker of the California House of Representatives. Not that she isn't smart and capable on her own. She actually was a pretty good district attorney by comparison to the other DAs.
No, but hold on. You jump past something, because she had an affair with a married man, Willie Brown, who was 31 years older than her, and got her first two appointments to office. So she got that jump that put her in a position to be high enough profile to be DA of San Francisco County and become attorney general by sleeping with a guy who is very powerful.
That's not an unreasonable statement. Yeah.
Okay.
And people in Oregon can't even understand how powerful the California Speaker of the House is. It goes way beyond the kind of power that Tina Kotek had when she was Speaker.
Well, tell me this. Do the Democrats hate the Jews these days?
Well,
you're Jewish.
I'm Jewish, and I don't think they hate the Jews.
Well, let me ask you about something that just broke. So Benjamin Netanyahu is scheduled to speak tomorrow to a joint session of Congress. Now, who would ordinarily preside over that? The vice president. And she has said, I'm not presiding over it. And another Democrat, another senior Democrat named Patty Murray, has also said, I'm not going to preside. I won't be there. Now, Explain to me how that works. The leader of a country who's in the middle of a war is coming to address a joint session of Congress, and both the vice president, who would ordinarily preside over a joint session of Congress, and one of the senior Democrats have both said, no, nope, not going to be there.
That's very disappointing.
Is it worse than disappointing?
I'm a first generation American on my dad's side. My father was a Jew born in Germany, and his family had to flee the Nazis. So this is not that distant for me. But I don't practice any religion, and I love the Jewish faith.
Sadly.
That being said, I don't like Benjamin Netanyahu. A lot of people don't. But he still is the president of Israel, and it's unusual for the United States Congress to grant the right to foreign leaders to address joint sessions of Congress. We generally
but he's
do
done
that
it before.
The British.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've done it before, but it's not common. And
right.
It's frankly, I didn't know that about Harris. I think that's inexcusable.
Well, it's
her,
just come down in the last little bit today.
One of the few jobs the vice president really, there's a famous quote by a vice president that we can't say on the radio.
I always say a pitcher of warm
version.
Spit instead of the other. John Nance Gardner, not I always thought it was Adams, but it was John Nance Gardner who said that.
No, it was in the 1840s.
Yeah, they
it's not a very important. I mean, you're the spare. That's your job. Your job is to be the spare. Nonetheless, one of the few real jobs of the vice president is presiding over the United States Senate, particularly in ceremonial things like the address of a foreign leader. And
so.
I don't like Netanyahu at all.
I like Netanyahu, despite his corruption problems and all that. But tell me, what should we make the two top Democrats, including now the odds-on favorite to become the Democrat standard bearer in the presidential election, have said, I don't want to be there?
Well, I'm not surprised about Patty Murray. She's a left-wing Democrat. I'm pretty shocked that the woman who wants to be president of the United States, the Jewish vote is not huge, but it's still important. And once upon a time, the last 40, 50 years, the Democrats probably would get 60% of the Jewish vote. I don't think that's going to be the case this time.
I don't think so either. So let's go to her role as a prosecutor. Was she a good prosecutor? Because I'm told she had a rep. I've read of the rep. For that she was tough on crime, and all of a sudden she becomes a lefty who's raising money to bail out some of the people involved in the Antifa BLM riots.
Well, let me be straightforward about it. As it was relative, as the San Francisco district attorney, she was a breath of fresh air. She was an actually, but this is like 2008, 2010 When she became Attorney General of California, she started veering left, and she has continued to veer left since then and has expressed support for a lot of very dicey candidates. For example, one of the most shameful things she did not do when she was the United States Senator, which was not that long ago, is stand up for the incumbent district attorney of Los Angeles County 4 years ago, a black woman named Jackie Lacey, who was displaced out of office by a white man named George Gascon, who is in the process of being recalled because people in Los Angeles are so fed up with his Soros-like activities.
Yep.
And the vice president was not on the right side of history on that one either. I want an open convention. You and I went, for history's sake, it was 28 years ago.
Don't go there because we're almost out of time, but tell me why you want an open convention, because as a talk show host, I'd like the Democrats to have an open convention too. Say it quickly, yeah. Josh.
I want it because that's real democracy. That is literally throwing the doors open, freeing the delegates from any obligations they have, and let the best person win.
There you go. That's Josh Marquis, former district attorney. We'll be back in a moment. I want to talk about what happened to Kim Cheadle, currently head of the Secret Service, and she ought to be out of that job. She failed miserably on Capitol Hill today. You got the Lars Larson Show. You've heard.
Donald Trump with a warning to Hamas at the Republican Jewish Coalition Conference.
If you spill a drop of American blood, we will spill a gallon of yours.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
The Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed.
Yeah, that's the understatement of the decade, as far as I'm concerned. By any measure, Kim Cheadle, the woman whose voice you just heard, testifying under oath on Capitol Hill today, she's still telling lies in her testimony. Let me get into that, and I know that a lot of you want to talk about that as well. But welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm glad to get to your phone calls and emails at 866-HEY-LARS. And if you're a naysayer, well, 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk at LarsLarson.com. And today's poll on X, because my producers and I happen to write the question today, but we write a brand new question of the day from the news of the day, so it's as fresh as possible. Now that Joe Biden has quit the race for re-election, should he resign the presidency? I would answer yes, and my argument is, if he's too mentally incompetent to run for re-election, then he's too mentally incompetent to be the president of the United States for the next 6 months. You can find the question at Lars Larson Show and at LarsLarson.com. But we've got a problem. U.S. Director of Secret Service Kim Cheadle has testified, among other things, that there was a failure. She refused to call it a massive failure when just over a week ago, a bullet hit the head of Donald Trump. It happened to clip his ear, and so he didn't suffer serious injury. But we came this far from losing a former president and the odds-on favorite to be the next president of the United States because of failures, compounded failures by the Secret Service. What did Kim Cheadle tell members of Congress today?
As a director of the United States Secret Service, I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency. We are fully cooperating with ongoing investigations. We must learn what happened, and I will move heaven and earth to ensure that an incident like July 13th does not happen again.
Gee, that's reassuring. One of our protectees got a bullet to the head, and we'll do everything we can to make sure it doesn't happen again. Well, that didn't exactly make members of Congress very happy. Listen to Representative Nancy Mace talking to the Director of Secret Service.
Both sides of the aisle today have asked for your resignation. Would you like to use my 5 minutes to draft your resignation letter, yes or no?
No, thank you.
Was this a colossal failure?
It was a failure.
Yes or no? Was it a colossal failure is the question, yes or no?
I have admitted this is a terrible...
This is a yes or no series of questions. Was this a colossal failure, yes or no?
Yes.
Have you provided a list to the Oversight Committee? Yes or no?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
That is a no. Have you provided all audio and video recordings in your possession to this committee, as we asked on July 15th? Yes or no?
I would have to get back to you.
That is a no. You're full of today.
Yeah, I would have to agree with the member of Congress, although I can't use that kind of language on the radio. But even somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, so far off to the left in the Democrat Party, you just about need a pair of binoculars to spot her. Even she has been critical of the U.S. Secret Service.
So the notion of a report coming out in 60 days when the threat environment is so high in the United States, irrespective of party, is not acceptable. So the idea that a report will be finalized in 60 days, let alone prior to any actionable decisions that would be made, is simply not acceptable. It has been 10 days since an assassination attempt on a former president of the United States, regardless of party.
Regardless of party. And by the way, just to remind you of the facts, the Secret Service allowed a rooftop to remain unguarded, and the excuse is she didn't offer it today before Congress, but she's offered it in the last week or so from Kim Cheadle, is, well, the roof was too steep. It was, by anybody's measure, not too steep. Or that it would be very hot up there for a Secret Service agent to have to sit on a rooftop and guard it to make sure that you don't allow somebody to be within 148 yards of the podium where a protectee is speaking. And then the failures on the ground. That once Donald Trump had been shot, even some of his agents, and we're now told that not all of them were Secret Service, some of them had been drawn from the ranks of Homeland Security investigations. And what did that mean? It meant that Dr. Jill Biden, the first lady, was also campaigning in the state of Pennsylvania, and some of Donald Trump's security had been pulled away to make sure that Dr. Jill Biden could be protected. This is an agency with almost 8,000 people in it, and they aren't capable of protecting people like President Donald Trump. This is outrageous. The idea that a young man, 20 years old, could get on that rooftop, be that close to the President of the United States with line of sight. They even caught him with a rangefinder in his bag as he came through some of the security, that he could get a rifle to that rooftop and get off six shots before the Secret Service could take him out, that they knew he was there up to an hour before, that they knew that he was a threat 10 minutes before Donald Trump took to the rooftop, and or before Donald Trump was shot from the rooftop. This is outrageous. And I'll add in one more thing that we've just become aware of today, and that is the Secret Service director, who was in the Secret Service, went off to the private sector and worked as the head of security for PepsiCo, providing security for Cheetos, Doritos, and Mountain Dew, that she came back to the Secret Service because Dr. Jill Biden insisted that she was the choice. Well, she had already testified to the Congress that she has not used what are called encrypted apps like Signal on her personal iPhone. And then when she was asked a question by another member of Congress, she admitted she has used that encrypted app with colleagues and government officials and even with foreign nationals. All of that really it absolutely undercuts the fact that the Secret Service director admits it was a failure, but she will not resign from her job. Let's go to Bob and Ben. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Well, Lars, I've been listening to all this stuff about this attempt at the assassination, and this is my take, okay? I have convinced myself that this is a setup with the Secret Service, and this is why. Number one, they had all those people in that building where the shooter was. They were supposed to be standing around looking out the windows, which is kind of dumb, okay? Number two, how in the heck did a sniper get on target at the length of time it took that kid to shoot six shots? He was already on it. I believe that he was told not to shoot unless he did. And I am convinced that this is all true. That's all I'm going to say.
And I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let me get Ron in. Ron, we're close to the break, so make it quick, please.
Okay, number one, she derelicted her duties. Two, just like when the mayor of Chicago, New York went out 9/11, there was recordings real time. She's trying to deny the public the right of hearing those conversations. Three, it was pointed out that she had no communication between the Secret Service, the FBI, and everything else. They should be all on one service. That's why all of a sudden after 9/11 we had the Homeland Security Department to get together. And the last thing I will say is that we need to put the cojones right back on Mayorkas. He is head of Homeland Security. He should have vetted her out. He should have called her out, and she needs to be responsible. And being that she's acting like this, she should be held in contempt conference like what happened to Mr. various people that we know of the Trump team that had was held in contempt conference.
I would go for all of that. And if Kamala Harris becomes a Democrat nominee as vice president, she should be calling for the resignation of Kim Cheadle at Secret Service. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show. Some solid advice from Senator John Kennedy.
Look, if you hate cops just because of the cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm always glad to get to your phone calls and your emails at 866-HEY-LARS. Let me mention a couple of things. At this point, there are a lot of people, powerful people within the Democrat Party, who are lining up behind Kamala Harris as though the choice has already been made, even though that is not the choice of voters, about 14 million of them, who voted in the Democrat primaries. They chose Joe Biden. Now, they may have been forced to that choice because they really weren't offered any alternatives. But consider that if Kamala Harris ends up being the choice, and not somebody else coming out of the Democrat convention to be the candidate for the Democrat Party, consider what she represents. She was a bad prosecutor. She was not a liberal prosecutor, if that matters to you, and it matters to Democrats. To the rest of us, I'd be glad to see a tough-on-crime prosecutor become the president of the United States. I think Donald Trump is going to be tough on crime. I think Kamala Harris, who famously, during the campaign, helped to raise money to get people out of jail after they were arrested for actual crimes during the Antifa and BLM riots. Then those riots, by the way, did about $3 billion damage to major American cities. They also were involved in or associated with about 36 different murders. But consider that as well. On all the other major issues of the day, she wants to get rid of the Trump tax cuts passed in 2017. They gave tax relief to people at every level of income. That would mean across-the-board tax hikes, not just on the rich, but on everybody else. She wants to impose a carbon tax. She wants to, for example, ban plastic straws, which leads you to those times where you drive up to a coffee stand or a fast food joint, and they hand you a plastic cup with a plastic lid, but then they save the planet by putting a paper straw through that plastic lid into the plastic cup. If that makes sense to you, you're probably a liberal Democrat. She wants to eliminate the filibuster to be able to shove bad legislation through the U.S. Congress. Americans to reduce their red meat consumption, probably not by their own choice, but by government edicts, because that's good for the climate. She wants to ban right to work nationwide, which is going to hit a number of states. More than half the states in America already practice right to work, which means if you come to work somewhere and you don't happen to belong to a labor union, you are not forced to join a labor union. Now, I'll admit a dog in the fight there, because frankly, I was once forced to be a member of a labor union. I'd already been hired to the job, and the union told me, you either join our group, which I did not know about ahead of time, or we're going to have the company fire you, because in a non-right-to-work state, they have the power to do that. But I love the idea of getting a naysayer on the subject of Kamala Harris. Ed, welcome to the program. If you're a naysayer, we must disagree about something. What is it, please?
Well, I think the idea of encouraging Biden to resign when the Obama administration has been running everything for 3 years, it's a bad idea at this time, because it elevates Kamala Harris to incumbent president for the election just 3 months before. I think it's really a bad idea.
Do you think that making her the incumbent, and you are right, ordinarily being the incumbent in any office, whether it's governor, mayor, member of Congress, member of the Senate, or president, gives you a powerful advantage. But do you think that also applies in the case of Kamala Harris? We've seen what she does and does not do for the last 3.5 years. Do you think putting her in the office for a few months before the election, less than 4 and more than 3, is going to be a big advantage for her?
I think it is, because the same people who have been running things for 3 years are going to do everything they can to make her look as good as possible and whitewash her record with whatever they do over the next 3 or 4 months.
Did that work for Joe Biden? Because clearly, I agree with you that it was Barack Obama's former staff that went to work for Joe Biden for the most part. They're actually calling the shots. But if they've been working for the last 3.5 years to make Joe Biden look good, has that worked?
I don't know that they've been working to make him look good, as they're using him as a hateful, just spewing hate about Trump and the Republicans. That's all he does.
Well, so that means that if we get Harris, we get another sock puppet who won't do any different than Joe does, right?
Except for they'll still be promoting probably a lot of their policies, but they're going to be looking at this as 3 months before the election. What can we do to make her more palatable for the election? I'm sure they'll go back to their agenda when the election's over. But
look, I don't think it's going to give her that much advantage. In fact, if anything, Ed, if Biden were to quit and she becomes immediately the president of the United States, I think if anything, we're going to see for sure how bad she could be. I think Americans are going to see her inability to communicate, her bad positions on all the issues. And unlike Joe, the advantage is with Joe, they can just hide him from questions. I don't think a president, a succession president, Kamala Harris, would be able to hide from questions the same way. Do you?
Well, I don't think so either, but I think it's a huge risk. We don't know how it's going to go, but we know with her sitting in the shadows back here, we have her record of past failures on the border and the things that she's done in the past to attack with. We don't know what the future holds if they put her in that office.
I can tell you one other thing, Ed. When she was running for president, she dropped out before the Iowa caucuses. She was pulling 3%. 3%. Now, do you think she would do any better this time around?
Well, the polls I've seen are all within the margin of error. You know, we're talking 1-3%.
No, I'm saying that when she was running for president, she pulled 3% support, not margin, 3% support, which is why she dropped out.
Right. But this is, what we're dealing with today is a different scenario.
It's the anti-Trump, and I get that it's the anti-Trump margin. You're a good naysayer, Ed. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim, you saw the hearing with the Director of Secret Service today?
Yes, I did. I was watching it this morning, and I come out with two things out of the whole thing. Is I think that number one, I think that Raskin and several other Democratic representatives kind of tried to turn that into an AR-15 and a gun registration hearing.
Which is kind of foolish because the AR-15 that the shooter had, who tried to take the life of Donald Trump, was a gun that had been purchased a decade before, and that apparently his parents noticed it was missing and their son was missing. And to their credit, they called the police and said, "We've got to find our son. He's missing and the gun is missing." And at least they did the right things. But how would banning AR-15s, unless you confiscate every single one of them, about 5 million of them, from American citizens, and I don't see that happening, how would AR-15 laws have changed anything, according to the Democrats?
Well, that's what I come about watching this. I thought it was supposed to be a hearing on how they failed at it. It shouldn't have had anything to do with the type of gun or gun registration. I mean, we're trying to find out what went wrong, not what gun they were using or registering a gun.
I agree with you, Jim, but the problem is they were facing an impossible task. They had to admit that the Director of Secret Service, chosen by Joe and Jill Biden to be Director of Secret Service, had failed miserably, and now, having failed, refuses to tender her resignation. This is a no-win for the Democrats, so their best tactic is change the subject to something else and see if you can make something out of it. 866-439-5277. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.
Another strong take from President Biden on AI and the weather.
Helping web telescope. My God, what is this?
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Monday. It's the Radio Northwest Network, and there are questions being raised. Where the heck is Joe Biden? And I know people say, well, we know it's Joe Biden because his Twitter account said yesterday that he's not going to run for re-election. His Twitter account said that. We already know that his Twitter account is run by other staffers. And how do we know that? Because there were 20 tweets sent out on the night of the presidential debate, during the presidential debate, the one in which Joe flopped so very badly. Now, Joe Biden was not standing there on that stage sending out tweets while he was trying to debate Donald Trump. They were being sent out by a staffer. So far, since last Thursday, nobody has seen Joe Biden. And the questions being raised, how do we know? Do we have proof of life? I mean, where exactly is the man if he's about to say, I'm not going to run for re-election, I'll continue to serve 6 months, but he hasn't shown up in public since last Thursday? That's a concern. This segment of the show brought to you by NickShivers.com for an instant offer to sell your home immediately. No showings, no hassles, and you pick the closing date. NickShivers.com for details. And our EX poll today. Now that Joe Biden has quit the race for reelection, should he resign from the presidency? My logic is, if he is too mentally incompetent to be able to run for reelection today, then today he is too mentally incompetent to serve as president of the United States. Today's X poll can be found at Lars Larson Show and at LarsLarson.com, brought to you by Ultimate Truck Services. If you rely on trucks for business, Ultimate keeps your biggest assets on the road and running right. Find them at UltimateTruckService.com. To your calls now, let's start with Ron in Tacoma. Hey, Ron, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Security for Donald Trump, but before I get to that, I just got one thing to throw out there. Am I to assume that that shooter was a rhino Republican? I mean, after all, he had an AR-15, was in shooting guns, and yet voted, apparently voted Democrat, even though he was a Republican, because that's where he put his money.
He had, in fact, given some money to one progressive group, and it was a small amount of money, but still, I wouldn't even give a small amount of money to a progressive group. He didn't have guns. His mom and dad had guns, and he apparently took one of those guns owned by mom and dad, which had been bought by dad a decade before, 2013. So that means that gun was purchased when he was about 9 years old. So no way he bought the gun. Mom and dad had the gun. So when you say, well, he had guns, and that's an indication of his politics, consider that was not his gun. That was mom and dad's gun. So number two, yeah. The neighbors of mom and dad say that until recently, until this incident, mom and dad had Trump campaign signs in their front yard indicating what their politics were. Their son had given money to a so-called progressive or liberal group indicating his politics, and who knows, maybe even where his anger was. Because if you say, why would a guy do something like that? Did he have a mom and dad who were Trump fans and gun owners, and he was a young man who identified more with liberal or progressive kinds of traits? Then I think that describes it as best as we can, knowing what we know about him now. Does that seem fair?
Okay. That's fair. Maybe you should look at the teacher. But I got some very good news. Apparently,
what's
we may
that?
Not need the Secret Service anymore. I don't know if you heard this over the weekend, but this is pretty big news. Do you know any of the Giant Motorcycle Club
news
outfits at all?
Do I know any news outfits or motorcycle clubs?
Yeah, that's
I got some of both.
Motorcycle club oriented.
Well, I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Well, basically, motorcycle club guys, they got their own news, and I don't know if you... Here's what
okay,
I'll throw
but,
out
but
there.
Get to the
drug.
Point. Get to the point so the audience okay, can
yeah,
hear what you're talking about.
We're trying to get to the point. They got over 650,000 members, and they just come out over the weekend. All the biker clubs are getting together. They're talking about actually working together and start coming to the Trump rallies 100,000 deep.
Well, and that's fine, but they've got to work with the Secret Service. And it's ultimately the Secret Service's job to protect these protectees. And they have legal authority that the motorcycle clubs would not have. But if he has some extra protection, great. But could they have kept a sniper off the roof? That's another question. Let's go to Joey. Hey, Joey, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. Thanks for listening on the Radio Northwest Network. What's on your mind?
Yeah, not to listen to your show. I enjoy it. But a couple of my cousins over the weekend said the Secret Service sniper that shot the 20-year-old kid, that he lost his job and is facing criminal charges. I'm like,
nope.
I haven't heard nothing about that.
Nope.
Like,
and that's because your friends are believing everything they read or see on the Internet.
Okay, and that's what I told my tech. I haven't heard nothing about that.
And by the way, Joey, be aware there's a lot of junk on the Internet. I mean, when I first heard the news that Biden had when I first heard the news that Trump had been shot, I immediately got online to see what I could find out, because I'm aware, and you should be aware, I'm just saying, be forewarned, there's going to be a lot of junk information out there. There's also good information, and you have to sort it out. When Biden's decision not to run was first announced on social media Sunday afternoon, I immediately got online to find out, is this real? So there have been a lot of junk reports about the U.S. Secret Service, sadly. because junk information just clutters up the landscape.
Right, I tried looking into that, and I couldn't find nothing. Yep. And then he showed me a video. I'm like, I haven't heard nothing about
it. Let me tell you something. If a member of the Secret Service had been fired, and if criminal charges had been brought, which makes it public, you would know about it, and mainstream media would be reporting it. It has not happened, as far as I know. And if I'm wrong, I'm happy to be corrected. You're listening to The Lars Larson Show. Thanks, Joe.
The Lars Larson Show.
So, in exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Is the Lars Larson Show.
With great humility, I am asking you to be excited.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Lars.
And now.
And then we're going to kick the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Here's your host.
My memory is so bad, I let you speak.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Monday. It's my pleasure to be with you, and we live in truly strange times because we have President Joe Biden, who we are told has decided he will not run for re-election. He hasn't shown his face. In fact, as far as anybody knows, he hasn't been seen in public since last Thursday. And already the question is coming, can we get some proof of life here? Do we know this is actually Joe? And then we've got the message from the Democrat Party, which saw 16 million Americans vote in primary elections, 14 million of them cast ballots for Joe Biden. But now that Joe Biden has said he's going to drop out of the run for re-election and that he has chosen Kamala Harris, and a lot of other Democrats have lined up behind that choice, not all of them, and most notably Obama has not lined up behind that choice just yet, we're told, yeah, don't worry about it, folks. Your votes really don't matter. We, the party elites, will make the decision for you who's going to be on the ballot this fall on November the 5th as the Democrat Party candidate. So I thought it was a perfect opportunity to talk to my friend Ari Hoffman, host the Ari Hoffman Show on our Seattle affiliate station, KBI. Ari, welcome back.
Always a pleasure to be here, buddy.
Hey, I want to start with something that I'll give you credit for the Post, that we saw something even stranger, that after the announcement this weekend that Biden's not running for re-election, that his pick for president, for the Democrat Party presidential candidate is Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris decided to say, I'm not going to do one of the few jobs other than successor that actually the vice president is called upon to do, which would be to preside over a joint session of the House and the Senate. And that's happening this week, and it involves a very interesting guest and hence an interesting message when Kamala Harris and other Democrats say, nope, I'm not going to be involved in that. Would you mind telling my audience what happened?
Sure, absolutely. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu from Israel was scheduled to address a joint session of Congress. Now, originally, it was postponed a couple times, and people blamed anti-Semitism, but really what it was they scheduled it for a Jewish holiday because, look, half the time the people I work with don't know when the Jewish holidays are, so I don't blame them for that one. But it was postponed a few times, and as luck would have it, it's this week. Now, Kamala Harris, as you said, is supposed to preside over joint sessions of Congress, especially ones when VIPs come. If it was Zelensky, she wouldn't be missing it. But now, for some reason, she says she's going to be skipping this one. There's also unconfirmed reports at this time that she may not even be meeting with Netanyahu when she was originally scheduled to. But question is, regarding proof of life, where's Joe Biden? Joe Biden's supposed to be meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he comes to town. Even lame duck presidents do that with foreign leaders, and Joe Biden's nowhere to be seen. So you've got Joe Biden, who's not here to do his job, who knows who's actually running the country. You've got Kamala Harris, who's supposed to be pitching in, but she doesn't want to do it, probably because she's more radical than Joe Biden. And she is worried about the votes in Michigan. And she knows that if she wants AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar to be supporting her, she has to take the anti-Semitic route. Now, I know some of your listeners are going to say, wait a minute, Ari, she's married to Doug Emhoff, and Doug Emhoff's Jewish. Doug Emhoff is barely Jewish. The guy couldn't explain Hanukkah, one of the most commercialized holidays that we have. He couldn't explain what that one is. So, great, you got a circumcision. So do a lot of people who aren't Jewish. It doesn't make you anything. So, no, I think Kamala Harris is a big enemy of America. I think she's an enemy of the Jews. And I think her becoming the Democratic nominee is absolutely the worst thing that could happen, aside from the border, aside from everything else, which we all know. At the Republican National Convention, which I just got back from last week, on Tuesday night, they did a whole thing about the missing American hostages who are still held in by Hamas, by Palestinian terrorists, in Gaza. You never hear the Democrats talking about that. They had a hostage family speak from the stage. They had kids who were subjects of anti-Semitism on college campuses. You never hear the Democrats talk about that. They said the Gaza encampments were peaceful. So really, you're talking about a person who claims to virtue signal about every single race or religion, and then when they actually need to do the right thing, they don't. Kamala Harris is dangerous for everybody.
Well, in fact, all right, let me add this. I want people to think about this. No matter what you think about Hamas or Israel, you have a top U.S. ally, probably second only to Great Britain. So of our friends around the planet, you've got Great Britain in Europe. You've got Israel in the Middle East as the only, you know, freestanding democratic state in the Middle East. And they're in the middle of a war. And no matter what you think of Netanyahu, he's had some problems of one kind or another, but he is the current head of one of our allies, which is in the middle of a war that has already taken more than 1,000 lives and is perhaps an existential threat to the country. And he comes to the United States to appear before a joint session of Congress, and the president and the vice president say, I'm not going to have anything to do with the guy. No matter what you think about the issue or the Palestinians or anything else, is that the way America wants to behave toward its allies?
Of course not. But here's something else. Kamala Harris is missing a big, huge opportunity here. Right now, a lot of people are under the impression that Republican Party is the home for freedom. Republican Party is patriotism. Republican Party supports all races, all religions, all ethnic groups, and especially the Jews coming off the RNC and everything that's happened this year. So Kamala Harris could look like a statesman. She could look like a statesperson. She could look like a statesperson by coming forward and having those pictures taken and doing the meetings, not cackling for 5 minutes. She's blowing an opportunity. Why? Because the far, far left flank of her party will get mad, and she needs to solidify them so she can get the nomination.
Yeah, and I just don't understand any of this. Now, about Joe disappearing from public, do you have any idea what's going on? Because there are literally people like Matt Taibbi, who's a good journalist, he's on the left, but he's saying, where's Joe? Has Joe just disappeared? The fact that yesterday the announcement that he won't be running for re-election and Kamala Harris is his choice came out, over his signature, but the White House has a lot of signature stamps. So where exactly is the guy? And if he's going to make that kind of consequential announcement to the millions of people who voted for him as the candidate, wouldn't you think he'd at least show his face somewhere? The White House says he's doing better today, and he was said to have had minor symptoms of COVID when he left Nevada last Thursday. So what in the world do you think is going on?
Well, here's the thing. Either he's way, way worse than anybody's letting on, or he's not on board with this decision, or nobody's told him yet. Joe Biden's going to be really, really mad when somebody finally wakes him up and says, hey, by the way, you resigned your run for office. This actually reminds me of that video that went viral where this caregiver was arrested a couple months back because she wheeled the corpse of the person she was taking care of to try and make a massive bank withdrawal. That's what it looks like here, because Kamala Harris needs all that Democrat money, and she can't do it unless she gets Joe Biden to step down from the race. She needs that giant war chest that the two of them fundraise together. So when somebody says they're not running for office, which is historical, it's unprecedented, and then you don't get an Oval Office address, you don't get a joint press conference, you don't get anything, COVID's an excuse. COVID was an excuse to take him off the map, shove him down into the basement so they could rally the Obamas, the Clintons, and everybody, because you notice how quickly they all came out and endorsed Kamala Harris. None of them like Kamala Harris.
So but let me ask you, in the last 10 seconds, Ari, is it possible that Joe Biden doesn't know that he has quit the race for re-election?
Is it possible Joe Biden hasn't known he's president for 4 years? Absolutely.
I think absolutely. That's Ari Hoffman. His show follows mine on our Seattle affiliate station. That's KVI. Glad to get your calls at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And you're listening to the Radio Northwest Network. Yeah. If you're
.org. Brought to you by American Humane.
Upcoming American elections promise some provocative politics, but be forewarned, the green agenda may lead to some extreme rhetoric.
Die, gas pumper!
So prepare yourself by listening to the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Monday, and the news that broke about 24 hours ago that Joe Biden is out of the running for re-election. Even though nobody has actually laid eyes on Joe Biden since last Thursday, the announcement was made by on social media, but without any video, without any audio, just a typed up statement on a plain piece of paper that purported to be Joe Biden's words announcing that he's dropping out of the race for re-election and that Kamala Harris is his choice to replace him. Other than that, nobody actually knows whether Joe knows that he's dropped out of the race. On that note, I want to go to Gabriel. Hey, Gabriel, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, Lars? My name is Gabriel Bueller. I'm the chairman of the Washington County Republican Party here in Oregon, and I was just a delegate at the RNC convention. I'm also a presidential elector for the state of Oregon for the Republican Party, and I just want to say it was a really good time. It was like the Energizer Bunny times a million on the floor there. I mean, it's hard to put into words what it really felt like. It really felt like we were all coming together and we can really win this thing in November, you know. And with Joe Biden stepping down, and they really still want us to believe that he got 81 million votes, but yeah, he's going to step down. Well, it just doesn't seem right to me.
And think about this, Gabriel. You've heard Donald Trump, who is my candidate as well, but you've heard Donald Trump called a threat to democracy. So you know what the picture is that we see on this Monday? We see 16 million Democrat Americans who voted in the primaries, and 14 million of them voted for Joe Biden. So only a couple of million voted for the also-rans, Dean Phillips and others. And you've got the party leadership and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris saying, none of your votes count because I'm not running for re-election. Kamala Harris is the choice of Joe Biden. So you have both the voters being told you've got nothing, and this is on the Democrat side, you've got nothing to say about who the candidate is going to be. And then they're going to arrive at a convention where a whole bunch of delegates, just like you are a delegate to the RNC, are going to show up saying, oh, so we get to choose who the candidate is. Unless they agree to an open convention, it sounds like the party elites have decided, no, we're going to make the choice for you before the convention ever happens. It doesn't start for a little less than a month from now.
But I think it's going to be a stark difference between the RNC convention and the DNC convention, and people are really going to be able to see it. It's going to be undeniably different. But I got a great story for you, Lars.
Tell me.
I brought a whole bunch of signs back that had on the floor there. They were handing them out like every single day, and so I stuffed them all in my luggage and brought them back. Actually, it weighed like 15 pounds extra. I almost went over the limit flying back on the plane, but I had two events that we were doing in Washington County that started up on Friday when I came back. So one was the Robin Hood Festival and the other one is the Washington County Fair. I brought those signs there and I was handing them out. Well, these group of kids came up to me. They're like 14 and they were all boys. They came up and they're like, hey, can we get a sign? And I said, well, what are you going to do with it? And they're like, well, we want to hold it up. And I said, all right, I don't want to see that sign on the ground. And they're like, okay. And so they took it and they walked away and they were like, Trump, Trump, Trump. And all these people are looking at them.
Are you kidding?
And then they came back. They came back like 15 minutes later and they were like, hey, everybody's telling us to shut up. And I'm like, you know what? You have a First Amendment right to say whatever you want to say, and you keep on saying what you want to say. And they're like, yeah, fight, 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 fight. And they walked off again. It was the greatest thing. I have so much hope for our youth now after seeing that. It really warmed my heart.
By the way, Gabriel, how old are you?
I am 45.
I only ask that because when I run into somebody who's younger, and almost everybody's younger than me now, but when I run into somebody, I have the same reaction. Isn't it great to see people who are engaged in what their country does and in the process. Now, the process got warts all over it. But having said that, it is a better process than every other place on planet Earth. We are an exceptional country, and the process is not without flaws, but it's great to see young people say, I want to be involved, because the next thing they'll do is say, well, what are the issues? You know, what are the important things? Is it energy? Is it, you know, environment? Is it life? And as they get engaged in those issues, it means that even if they never seek office, and that's okay, as long as they're engaged as Americans and say, I want to be involved in the process of making the decisions for my country, I'm with you. That is a fantastic thing to see and to experience.
I would love to have younger people be more educated voters, so that even if they can't vote right now, that way they're paying attention to the issues and they know what they're voting for, rather than just checking a box because it's a D or it's an R. And that's the exact reason why, come this January, when we have the Oregon Republican Party chair election, I'm going to run for chair of this state. And I really want to change it around and get young people involved in our party again.
And be glad that you've got that opportunity. And for those young people, if they say to themselves, you know, this also allows them the latitude to say, just don't believe what the mainstream media, or even me, don't believe what I say, go look it up. I always tell people where I get information, because I want them to be able to double check whatever I tell them. And then when you get a politician like a Joe Biden or a Kamala Harris saying, why, the economy is great, and you say, no, it's not. I know enough to look at the things that measure the economy. It's not great. Wages are not keeping up with inflation. Or say, we're in a great spot, nationwide. No, you had a giant disaster in Afghanistan. You've got a disaster going on in Ukraine. You've got a disaster going on in Gaza. You've got threats from China. You should be able to call BS on the politicians when they try to feed you a line of baloney. Gabriel, thanks so much. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Troy in Oak Harbor, listening on the Radio Northwest Network. Troy, what's on your mind?
Well, I want to think about just the latest news about Joe Biden. I feel he's totally incompetent to be president of the United States. His presidency should end right now. But the disturbing thing about it is his choice to take his place for the nomination, Kamala Harris. It's absurd that he made that decision. That I would think during the primary, the Democrat primary, they should elect somebody more competent than her to represent them in the election. And another point, do you see any similarities to 1968 involving LBJ and Hubert Humphrey? And also, one that's really heavy on my mind is 1974, when Richard Nixon, the year he resigned, Spiro Agnew, he resigned, and then it was Nixon, and he appointed somebody to take his place when he resigned.
Yeah, Ford. Because Agnew went out on alleged tax problems that I think later were overturned. Ford takes his place, and so that's where we sit right now. But Troy, you're right. People should pay attention. Will they try to gimmick this election to push Kamala Harris across the finish line? Or have they chosen her because they know they're virtually guaranteed to lose this election? And they figure if somebody has to take the loss, Kamala Harris is the perfect scapegoat. Glad to get your calls at 866-A-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. You're listening to the Radio Northwest Network.
The Lars Larson Show.
Portland's.
Constantine Kissin on Hamas.
For years now, many of us have been warning that the barbarians are at the gates. We were wrong. They're inside. There are positives as well. I mean, say what you want about Hamas supporters. At least they know what a woman is.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm always glad to get to your phone calls and emails. I want to talk to our friend Reagan Reese, who's White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. And Reagan, I'm an old guy, so you'll allow me a little bit of latitude, won't you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Is Joe Biden still alive?
I actually just have a piece about to publish on this call for proof of life from President Biden. I think this situation kind of escalated pretty quickly for the Biden White House, and I'm sure that they thought once Biden dropped out of the presidential race that maybe finally people will lay off of him and stop, you know, maybe the criticism would stop. But what's so bizarre about this is that on Wednesday, the president was diagnosed with COVID-19. We saw him, you know, really slowly walk down the stairs of Air Force One, enter the Beast without a mask on. And then that was the last we had seen of him. So on Sunday, he dropped out of the presidential race via letter posted on Twitter, which is a really strange way to notify the nation that, you know, you've determined that you're not fit to run for a second term, but you are fit enough to continue out your current term. And the president said, yes, in that letter, that he would be speaking at some point this week and address the nation about his decision, which, by the way, America deserves that. We deserve to hear from the president. But there's nothing on his schedule that we know of. It just says to be determined. And Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu just landed in America. He's scheduled to meet with the president. And Israeli officials are now saying that they have not heard from the White House and that this meeting that's supposed to take place tomorrow doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
No, and in fact, Reagan, when the president, even if the president is momentary, and I wasn't being facetious or sarcastic when I asked that question, but it really is bizarre. The president of the United States is last seen Wednesday or early Thursday, disappears. A communication comes from him on a plain sheet of paper with no video, no nothing. And this is a guy who's tied into more communications links. He could be on video if he wants to be. And we're told he's doing better than he was. He had mild symptoms, as they described them on Wednesday when he left Vegas. And if he had mild symptoms there and he's doing better now, he couldn't show up in front of a camera and simply say, folks, thanks a lot for all your support, but I've decided for the good of the country, I'm not going to run for re-election. Instead, it's just a typed statement that's released on social media with no sign of the president at all. It really does beg that question, where is he? And what's he doing? If he's really, truly doing better 4 or 5 days, 6 days later, where the heck is he?
Yeah, at the very least, this calls for a video message. Put together 60 seconds and walk out there. You're still going to get criticized for this, but you're not going to have people wondering on Twitter whether you're alive. The president live streamed or did a live address from Delaware when President Trump dodged the assassination attempt. So, you know, they have the ability to take the president live on the road to address the nation. But, you know, this is pretty on par for the Biden administration. For people who have been paying attention throughout the years, Biden averages the fewest amount of press conferences per year since Ronald Reagan. That's 11 per year. We've known him to be notorious for ducking from the press and not wanting to do public appearances. I mean, before the presidential debate, he disappeared for a week and then came out and had this cold, and we never heard from him. So I think this is pretty normal for the Biden administration to kind of go MIA when the country needs them and when the country needs to hear from them. But, you know, people are starting to wake up. And it's unfortunate that it's coming at the last couple months of his administration. But, you know, people are now starting to open their eyes and realize how, you know, how old and challenged the president's fitness for office.
Well, his last full cabinet meeting was October, where he actually sat down with his entire cabinet was October. And then you got this visit by Netanyahu. And no matter what people think about that conflict, I've got my own point of view on it, but it doesn't match up with the, you know, with the administration's view. But to say President Biden won't be there, Kamala Harris won't be there in his stead for the meeting with Netanyahu. And Kamala Harris and I guess a couple of other top Democrats have said, and they are refusing to preside over the joint session of Congress. That's Harris won't do it. Democrat Patty Murray of the Senate won't do it because she'd be the next in line to do it. And we're sending this message to an ally of ours that's at war right now.
Yeah, I mean, these stories, these leaks are only going to get worse. You know, now we're just figuring out about the cabinet meetings. Today in the Wall Street Journal, there was a report from that detailed a meeting with some congressional leaders from 2021,
yep,
where they started to sound the alarm on the president's well-being. 2021, that's 3 years ago. These people have known about this. They've had concerns about it, and they've continued to lie and gaslight to the American people about it, you know, to further their own interests. And just now, when they start to become afraid of Donald Trump again, they're going to decide to come clean and, you know, throw President Biden under the bus to wipe away all those votes that nominated the president. And it's really just disrespectful to the American people. And I'm just so confident that all of these stories about the president's age, about his fitness for office, are just going to come out in droves over the next couple weeks, months, probably years. It wouldn't surprise me if people signed NDAs and we won't be able to hear from them for a couple of years. But I think this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, because I saw the same report you did, that in 2021 there were these all congressional leaders who had gone in and meet with him, and he didn't seem to be making sense at that point. And so if they knew all that, how do they justify the gaslighting? Some of us, Reagan, have been talking about Joe Biden's mental incapacity, but only based on what you could actually observe from the outside. These folks are all on the inside. How in the world do you justify keeping that secret?
I think it comes down to wanting to push your own narrative, to not wanting to show a weakness and you know, cede ground. I've been in these same briefings and these same Oval Office meetings and these same gaggles that President Biden has taken, as a lot of the White House correspondents, my colleagues over at the White House, and I've seen these same gasps and stumbles and these confused looks from President Biden. And for me, that alarm went off. And now that they're, you know, just seeming to pay attention to the fact that the president has not seemed with it, that there's been, you know, genuine concern for his health over the years. And I think the outrage that you're seeing from the press now, where they are calling out Karine Jean-Pierre for lying, for, you know, keeping the secret of the president's age, I think in part it is a cover up to divert from the fact that they knew. And I really believe that if you're a reporter covering the White House, there's no way that you haven't, you know, seen the president in a confused state, committing gaffes, and been concerned about what you were seeing. And whether you chose to cover that or not over the couple of the years, I think shows how honest you are as a journalist.
Well, Reagan, I'll end on the same note we began on. A one-word answer. Does Joe Biden know he's dropped out of the race for re-election?
I do think he has, but I think he might have figured it out today.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe they just decided not to tell him right away. Ease him into that news. Reagan Reese, thank you very much. From the Daily Caller, the White House correspondent. Back in a moment, 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And you're listening to the Radio Northwest Network. Are you?
Ronald Reagan knew better. Do you?
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Well, apparently Joe Biden is called in on the phone to talk to some of the staff members of Kamala Harris. Now, again, these days, you don't even know if this is real or not. With artificial intelligence, if you've ever seen some examples of how that can be used to fake somebody's voice, but this purports to be the president of the United States calling in to support Kamala Harris by calling her staff members. Take a listen.
So many more. You built this team, you brought them together, you've inspired them, and you've done what leaders do. Now we got to, you know, the name has changed the top of the ticket, but the mission hasn't changed at all. And by the way, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be out there in the campaign with her, with Kamala. I'm going to be working like hell, both as a sitting president, getting legislation passed, as well as in campaigning. You know, what we still need to save is democracy. And Trump is still a danger to the community. He's a danger to the nation. And just ask my foreign policy colleagues, my counterparts, and other people around the world and at home. Look, so I'm hoping you'll give every bit of your heart and soul that you gave to me to Kamala. And I want you to know, I won't be on the ticket, but I'm still going to be fully, fully engaged. I've got 6 months left in my presidency. I'm determined to get as much done as I possibly can, both foreign policy and domestic policy. Keep lowering costs for families. Continue to speak out on guns and child care, elder care, prescription drugs, and climate. Climate still is the existential threat that we face. And if we don't win this thing, it's all in jeopardy. And we got to keep working for an end to the war in Gaza. I'll be working very closely with the Israelis and with the Palestinians to try to work out how we can get the Gaza war to end and Middle East peace and get all those hostages home. I think we're on the verge of being able to do that. And we got to keep our alliances together. It's critically important. It took a while for me to build these alliances. Most of these are my colleagues have acknowledged that. But it's critically, critically important for our safety and security. And I know I'll be doing whatever Kamala wants me or needs me to do in addition.
So unbelievable. I'm going to break away from this, but let me point out a couple of flaws in what he had to say. He says, we're going to work to get those Americans home. We've got Americans still held by a terrorist group called Hamas in the middle of the war between Hamas and Israel. President Joe Biden will not be meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who just landed a short time ago in Washington, D.C., who will be addressing a joint session of Congress at which Kamala Harris has said she won't be there to preside as she is supposed to, nor will Patty Murray, member of Congress from the Pacific North, member of the Senate from the Pacific Northwest. So he's working hard to get the Americans freed in the Gaza situation, and yet he's not going to meet with the head of Israel tomorrow, and neither is Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris has said she declines to even show up at the joint session of Congress to preside over it, as one of the jobs of the vice president is to do just that. And then you heard him say, I'm going to do what I can to work to, we're getting costs down. No, he's not. Costs have gone up more than 20% in the United States in the last 3 years. A three-year average, that's about 6.5% per year. They're still going up at about 3% per year. No costs for American families have gone down, and yet Joe Biden is going to go right ahead and say, yep, I'm working to get costs down. They're not going down, they're going up, and they have eclipsed most people's raises over the last 3.5 years. Let's go first to Sheldon. Hey, Sheldon, welcome to the Radio Northwest Network. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm kind of off topic today, Lars, but
that's all right.
The church that my son was baptized in was vandalized this weekend, and really, really badly. And then the police don't even show up. They say, hey, just give us a report over the phone or do it online. And that disgusts me. It's not important enough to come out to one of our churches when it's been trashed. It's more important for what? To not take care of street racing or not take care of the homeless? I'm so upset by it.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question, Sheldon. If you had attended a Jewish synagogue or a predominantly black church, do you think the response from the police would be different?
My daughter told me not to mention that, but yes,
I'm going to mention it. I don't have a problem with you mentioning it. There should not be a double standard where some people in the country get, or in a community like Portland, are going to get a first-rate response, and others are getting, you know, when there's a stack of leaflets dropped off at a synagogue, and I've got nothing against synagogues, I think people have a right to whatever faith they want to practice. But if you say, leaflets are dropped at a synagogue, the police will be investigating, and they've done that recently in both Seattle and Portland. But if it's a predominantly white church, then it's not going to get that response. That is absolutely crazy. Let's go to Alma. Alma, you're one of our best naysayers. What's on your mind, ma'am? We got about a minute.
Uh, uh, very, very proud. I'm the proud woman, black woman with a black woman run for president. You know what, Lars? I don't have a lot of money, but I send my little donation in. We going to fight you. And why they laughing about her cackle? Trump got 34 felonies against him. 34.
Can you tell me, Alma, why is her race or gender important?
Can you tell me? I hate to answer a question. What a question, but you can you tell me? People make it important.
But why did you immediately mention she's a black woman? Why is that important?
My little black grandson, black girl, you all right? My little black grandbaby, they've never seen this. And God knows I'm praying, Lord, that they do see it. And I hope I live long enough to see them see this.
Alma, thank you for a great naysayer. You got the Lars Larson Show on the Radio Northwest Network. The Lars